Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
Amen. Church family, you can go ahead and have a seat. Would you thank our choir? Thank you. They sound good. You sound good. It's a good day to be here together. Welcome to those of you joining us online as well. We love our online community. Glad that you are tuning in this morning. My name is Rob. I'm lead pastor here at Salem Alliance and glad that you are worshiping with us. Hey, Christmas is a pretty unbelievable season, and Christmas often stirs a lot of feelings within us. The traditions, the choirs, the ugly sweaters. I look around, and I'm personally grateful that there's not too many in the room here today. Christmas goes after all of our senses. It goes after our sight with the lights on the trees and the red and the green, the smell of pine and cinnamon. It goes after our tastes, the Christmas cookies, the roasted chestnuts, the eggnog, the mulled wine. And it even goes after the sounds, the songs of Christmas, our classic carols. These things that normal humans would agree are reserved for this short season from the day after Thanksgiving until New Year's Day. Can I get an amen? Those of you, yes, thank you, thank you. The rest of you, I'm glad you're here. We just disagree. Christmas brings out nostalgia. Christmas brings out and just these feelings within us. And today we lit the candle of love. And we looked at a scripture that deals with this topic of love, but I think it's important right off the bat to understand that culture so often looks at love and limits it to simply a feeling. And I hope that we see this morning that it's more than that, that love actually requires action. Love is active. Think about the five love languages, which many of you have probably become familiar with. They all involve a level of action. The giving of gifts, physical touch, quality time, words of affirmation, acts of service. You see, when it comes to God and our experience of His love, I find so often myself, and I know many of you as well, that we're looking to this concept of a feeling as confirmation and as confidence that we are right with God. We find ourselves so often measuring our faith and how we're doing based on how we're feeling. For many of us, this just subtly becomes our framework. But one of the beautiful reminders of Christmas is that it's so much more than feelings. One of the beautiful reminders that Christmas grants us is that it's more than feeling. That actually it's about the love of a creator God in action. A proven love. It's what our scripture today calls real love. It's what we're on the search for in today's message. Christmas is a celebration of this moment in our grand story when God became man, Emmanuel. He crossed the threshold of time and space to become one of us. It's extravagant pursuit. It's a redemptive plan that was there before the foundations of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. A savior enters the narrative. But what was the motivation for Creator God to do such a thing, to make such an extravagant move? Well, our texts and many texts remind us that it was love. It was His love, the love of the Creator, the sacrificial, selfless love of the Creator. It's what gives us the first coming. It's one of the aspects that we celebrate in Advent, this first coming. And it's that same love that came in flesh that now dwells in us and gives us the hope in the perseverance as we anticipate the second coming. This morning, I want to look at the passage that was read when we lit the Advent candle of love. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 to 17. You can turn there if you would like. I'll be putting different aspects of this text up on the screen as we kind of walk through it. But I want us to take a look at this text through two lenses. the first coming of Jesus and the anticipated second coming of Jesus. Before we jump into the word, would you pray with me? Jesus, we tell you that we love you. Collectively in this room, we declare that it is your rule and your reign that we want in our lives. And we invite you to speak to us in a fresh and powerful way through your word this morning as we celebrate the goodness of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's begin with the lens of the first coming. If you're not familiar with the narrative, let me quickly catch you up. You see, we read that there was darkness and rebellion. That's the backdrop of the nativity scene. We read about it in Genesis 6, verse 5. We see that it was just the corruption and the rebellion of humankind, that their thoughts were always evil and incredibly selfish. In fact, we see here that Creator God looked upon his creation and regretted that he had even made us. It says that he was grieved. It's a powerful, powerful passage. It's a powerful scene. It's the heartbreak of heaven. It's the chaos of our world. It's driven by selfish pursuits of power and pleasure. It's a betrayal that took place in the garden. And the betrayal was a betrayal of the relational love that a creator God wanted with his creation. And instead, it was replaced with a deceptive love that was self-seeking. This is the backdrop. And yet we see a creator God that did not give up on his people, but in that moment of darkness decides to pierce it with light. And God becomes man. Into the darkness, a redemptive mission is launched from the heart of the Father's love. And here we see our first point. He loved us, so he took action. He loved us, so he took action. It's the beauty of our passage. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 says this, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. And know that this wasn't some last-minute flippant idea of Creator God. This was his plan since the foundation of time, we are told in Revelation. We know that he played the long game. That's how extravagant his love was. We have all the prophetic words and murmurings of what would happen throughout the Old Testament. The hundreds of prophecies that were there about this God that would become man given hundreds of years before the day we celebrate in Bethlehem. Isaiah 7:14, one of my favorites, says this, "All right, then the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. The Christmas season is one of love. It's a large-scale reminder to us in the church and to our world outside that the Father in heaven not only felt love towards you and me, he acted on it. He did something about it. He didn't leave us wondering, am I seen? Am I known? He expressed his deep love for all of creation through action. He became vulnerable. He lived among us and ultimately he gave his life as an act of love. And the gospel writer tells us there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. We occasionally sing that love came down. And it's true. He loved us, so he took action. And the narrative continues because we know the story. He came. He lived among us. He died. He rose again. He conquered sin and shame and death with his blood on the cross. And he left us with his Spirit to seal us, to dwell within us, to empower us. He promised us that he's coming again. And our text today isn't just a celebration of his first coming. It's not there just to remind us of his love and pursuit of us. It also invites us to await his second coming. with great hope, and it compels us to live differently. See, Advent is first and foremost a season that allows us to contemplate the return of Christ. The brilliant theologian and pastor Fleming Rutledge puts it this way: Advent is superficially understood as the time that allows us to get ready for Christmas, but in truth, it is the season for contemplating the judgment of God. If I'm to be honest, I bristle a bit at the word judgment, as do many of us in the room. On the one hand, I don't like talking about it because it so often can be misinterpreted by our culture as we worship some angry God. Second, I don't love to talk about it because oftentimes it creates a level of fear and anxiety in us as we await his return. But our text today speaks directly to this, and it's powerful and it's freeing. With the second coming as our lens, take a look at the next part of our passage. 1 John 4:16-17, it says, "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world." Just camp out on this passage for just a second. Sit in it. There's so much wealth and wisdom in this passage. It shockingly says that God is love. Love isn't an attribute of God. It is who he is. It's his being. And we are filled with that love, and his love then compels us to love others. And as that love rises within us, our text is saying a byproduct of it is we don't fear his second coming. We stand in confidence as we await it. I love what it says here, that as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. And you know what else Scripture tells us about perfect love? Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. What is growing in us is perfect love, and the power of that perfect love casts out fear so that we will not be afraid on that final day. His love, sealed within us, grants us the ability to love others in the peace as we await his return. God is love. God became man, so be not afraid. Be not afraid. Fear not. These words are all over the Christmas narrative. These words are spoken to the old man Zechariah in the temple: fear not. These words are spoken to Virgin Mary: fear not, Mary. They're spoken to the confused fiance Joseph: fear not, Joseph. They're the words that are spoken to the lowly shepherds as they're out in their fields: fear not. There's something powerful about these words. Be not afraid. So often, at least I know, I just write that off and say, wow, the angel must have been fierce. He must have been so intimidating, and he must have just surprised them on such a level that his first words have to be, fear not. And yet I think there's another layer to what is happening here. The glad tidings, they were of great joy because God, who is love, is breaking into time and space. And the pervasive fear that was covering the earth at the time is beginning to lose its grip on humanity. The dominance of fear and intimidation that the enemy had spread is being put on notice because love came down, and it was perfect and it was powerful. And the fear and the sting of death are losing their intimidation. They are being disarmed as the Christ child enters into our space. And the second thing that I see here in our text is that the love that is found in Christmas casts out fear, because that's what perfect love does. And for some of you in this room, it sounds good up here, but to you, it's pretty empty words because you are full of fear and anxiety. And you're like, okay, be not afraid. Thank you. How? What? How? Please help me out with this. Jesus loosened the grip of fear on my life. Angel Gabriel, come in your intensity and meet me in my struggles with depression and anxiety and panic and say these words to me, fear not. Free me. Well, the interesting thing about our text is Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they're us. They're ordinary men and women, but they're ordinary men and women that understood that they were seen by God. Something happened in their lives that created a surrender and allowed them to experience the love of the Father. You see, it was the love of the Father that unlocked things for them. That love transformed them. It began to allow them to take action. Think about it. Zechariah, a man very old in his age that had been praying for decades for a descendant. When the angel appears, I see you, I've heard you. The love of Father God revealed through the seeing. Mary, a young teenager in an unknown little village, receives a message from God. I see you. The overlooked shepherds, the lowest of society, chosen to be there for the celebration, overlooked no more. The love of the Father had shined a spotlight on each of them. And their lives were changed. It was that love that then transformed them to be others-centered themselves. To understand that it is more beautiful to give than even receive. It's what began to unlock the curse that had come, that was brought on us by our selfishness, and replace it with a selflessness. I remember pretty vividly this moment in my life where I just began to understand the basics of the power that it is pretty awesome to give, not just receive. I think I was in sixth or seventh grade, and I remember I was out shopping. It was Christmas season. I was with my mom, and she gave me some money. I understand she was probably trying to just get me out of her way so she could do some shopping herself, but she gave me some money. She was running some errands. We weren't at one of New Jersey's finest malls. We were actually at what is called Drug Fair, right? It's a New Jersey staple. If you're from Jersey, you know Drug Fair. Thank you very much, right? Drug Fair is like Walgreens, but a little bit bigger and not quite as cool. That's how bad it is. Anyway, I'm in Drug Fair. And she says, buy some gifts for your brother and sister for Christmas. And I asked her, can I have some of my allowance? I want to buy like even more gifts. And it was the first time that I was actually empowered to buy gifts to give. It was at this time in my life where my faith was becoming real to me. I was understanding this concept of the Father's love and that he had sent his son to bring freedom to me. And I was starting to begin to understand what it meant to receive the Father's love. And it transformed even the art of gift giving. And here I was, and I think the plan backfired on my mom because I remember we were in Drug Fair for a long time. And Drug Fair is not a place you want to be for a long time. And I'm going up and down the aisles and selecting the perfect gift for my brother, the perfect gift for my sister, for my mom and for my dad. And I told my mom, you can't help me check out. I got a gift for you here. And I checked out. And I wrapped those gifts and I put them under the tree. And the next 2 weeks, there was very different experience for me. No longer was I thinking about what I would receive. I wasn't thinking about the game that I wanted to receive for my video game system. And I'm talking old school. OG Nintendo, Double Dragon, we called them cartridges back then. I wasn't thinking about that. I was thinking about how excited I was to actually offer these gifts to my family. And something changed. And it's what this text is about, that when we experience the love of the Father, something transforms in us. The self-centeredness begins to melt. The selfishness begins to unravel. And when it spreads in the church, the global church continues to experience the love of the Father and follow his mandate to love others. It is love in action, and it is powerful. The third thing that we see here is that when we act on our assurance that we are loved and seen by loving and seeing others. That's the beauty. That's the starting place, His love for us. And that's the beauty of Christian love. It's not there. We don't love our city so that we will earn something back. It isn't a coerced love. It's not looking to prove anything. It simply flows out of His love for us. And there's the byproduct that as we live with that other-centered love, the fear dissipates. And the hope for the return of Jesus is now held with a new level of confidence. Back to our text as we close. John 4, 11 to 15 gives us a commissioning. And it says this, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And His love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God." Here's what's powerful about this section of Scripture. It says, no one has ever seen God. And you can get lost there and run down your own theological bridges. What I thought they did, and what about Mo? And what the purpose of that statement is to make what follows that much more unfathomable. What he's saying is everybody gets to see God through us. You see, he's calling us to understand that we are seen and known and loved. And he fills us with his love. And then as we see and know and love those around us, it does something powerful. It mirrors him to our world so that he becomes visible to our neighbors, to our friends, to our loved ones. It's a powerful thing. Love of the Father, it was the motivation to send his Son. And we're commissioned to bring the peace and the power and the presence of God everywhere that we go. We're not alone in doing this. We're told even in this passage that he leaves us with his Holy Spirit, our hearts sealed and filled and healed, proof that he dwells in us so that we can stand with assurance when he returns. The writer Johann Christoph Arnold says this, "This all sounds grandiose, but it is very simple. It means fighting the impulse to live for ourselves instead of for others. It means choosing generosity over greed. It means living humbly rather than seeking influence and power. And finally, it means being ready to die again and again to ourselves and to every self-serving opinion or agenda." You see, with the Spirit, we have all that we need to love others and serve others. And as we continue to die to self and live surrendered lives, we will continue to experience the love of the Father. As we close, I want to invite the choir to come back out. But understand that God planned this first Christmas at the very foundations of the world. He knew it would cost him. It would cost him terribly. But he had a much bigger objective than himself. That's real love. And our text today is a reminder, and it's an invitation. It's a reminder that the intention of the Father in sending his Son was to scream to you and to scream to me, you are loved, you are seen, you are known. Do we believe that? Look, if you're here today and you've never received that love of the Father, can I just encourage you to not leave this place until you've had a conversation with someone around you? Or would you consider coming to the cross at the end of the service? For we'd love to have a conversation with you there. And here we also see an invitation to image him to all of his creation, to make him known and visible, to continue to leave our hearts open to loving others. Church family, our church is all about this. And I'm so encouraged and honored to be part of a church that does this so well. Many of you have given of yourself just in the last couple days around this place, bringing in gifts for Tree of Giving, serving at Feed Salem, delivering furniture through Furniture Bank. But the truth be told, many, many more of you did this not through programs, but through your relationships, serving and loving those around you. And so to my others-centered brothers and sisters, know this is happening all around. Leave encouraged today and receive this blessing. May his love continue to fill you to overflowing. May a confidence and a hope about his return rise. May the Holy Spirit continue to be the proof that he lives in you. And may the grip of fear and anxiety on you continue to be released as you love others under the banner of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.